Blog Talk Radio.
Experiment Black Radio.
Radio, sucker, never play me. Triple shade of black, down my bleacher, never fade me. They say he crazy, New York wisdom in the 80s. Killer catch administration, gangster renovation. Born out isolation, Asian ill communication. Asian Marvel, fiber actor, pestilential, microscopic soul, sonic remedy. Clinic right in the street, operating in the dark. Surgery of wounded heart, come together, pill apart, come together. Smoking on something good, praying for something better. From out of better, never rocking for forever, ever, 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 ever. Forever, ever, ever. It's still a secret even when you tell them dumb dummies. Hush money. Rent receipt, drug money, the cold-blooded warm gun money. The chief rock a fuel injector, Zulu horse, papa love boogie. Bay, 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 bay. Now you are rocking with the fresh, you're rocking with the depth, you are rocking with the fresh. It's a yes, you are rocking with the best, you are rocking with the fresh, you are rocking with the depth, you are rocking with the yes. Now you are rocking with the best, you're rocking with the fresh, you are rocking with the depth, it's a yes.
Zulu, big bird flies down on the mountain pass. Only thing to survive the crash, black radio. You wanna fly, we go far and fast. Built the last, we made this craft. From Black Radio, Black Radio, Black Radio. Black Radio. Black Radio. You're rocking, yes, you are rocking with the fresh, you are rocking with the depth, you are rocking with the best, you are rocking with the fresh. Now you are rocking with the best, you're rocking with the depth, you are rocking with the fresh. It's a yes, you are rocking with the fresh, you are rocking with the depth, you're rocking with the fresh, you are rocking with the fresh. Now you are rocking with the depth, you're rocking with the fresh, you're rocking with the fresh. It's a yes, you're rocking with the best, you're rocking with the depth. You're rocking with the best. Now you are rocking with the best. You're rocking with the best. You're rocking with the best. Yeah, yeah.
Zulu.
Peace, family. Peace. Peace, peace, peace. I hope everyone can hear me. I hope I am audible out there. I want to welcome each and every one of you to the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show. I am your host, Queen Amina, a.k.a. Black Alice in the house. All right. Happy Monday, happy Moon Day, happy day of reflection. I'm going to be going in on a few things tonight. There's a lot going on, as usual, but I have some interesting information that I want to share with the family tonight. I think everybody is so brilliant and so amazing, and I feel like we're at a point where we need to learn how to be even more brilliant and more fantastic and more amazing. Yeah, we're very, very powerful. Very, very, very powerful. I truly hope and wish that everyone is well and in bright spirits. Keep your spirits uplifted, okay? You are here. You are present. You are in the game. So keep yourself uplifted as best as you possibly can and try not to let the things that you see around you or things that you may experience affect you in a negative way, okay? Try to stay really grounded and uplifted at the same time. Think about a tree. The tree is in, the roots are in the ground, but the tree is constantly reaching for the sky. And so we have to do something quite similar, I think, so we can get ready as we shift and move and change our energy and we change our dimension, hopefully, to the fifth dimension. The fifth dimension is a very special place, and it's a place where love and thank you, my love. Thank you, peace, queen. Thank you, sweetheart. You know, it's time for us to you know, upgrade, you know, and in many different ways. And I used to talk about why it is that as human beings we will break our necks to consume the newest version of flat screen TV or your iPhone or your Galaxy or your tablet or your DJ equipment or your computer. You want the newest version. You want the newest iPad. You want the newest, you know, Microsoft version. You want the newest, right? You always want the newest. But we fail to improve ourselves. We need to constantly and consistently become the newest version of ourselves that is grand and fantastic. And when we put our energy towards that and we put our energy towards what it is that we desire, we can actually, you know, change our trajectory for the better and learn to embrace and experience new things that, you know, are thrilling and feel wonderful inside and, you know, make us feel, you know, more than whole and more than happy. So I'll be going in on some things tonight, family. Just, you know, off the cuff, you know, I was out last week. Last week was a holiday, so I took that holiday. You know, I'm sure maybe some of you were traveling or maybe coming home from a trip because it was a three-day weekend for, you know, the quote-unquote President's Day. Isn't it always interesting that President's Day and Lincoln's birthday are two different days? Wasn't Lincoln a president? Why Lincoln on the $5 bill looking in the opposite direction? Like, we got to pay attention to signs and symbols, okay? That's always been interesting to me that Lincoln's birthday is separate from President's Day, but Lincoln was a president. There's a lot in that. I'm not going to go into all that right now, but there's a lot in that. You know, but overall, it was nice to, you know, have that time and, you know, be with my husband and just relax. You know, as I said a moment ago, I'm going to be going into some things tonight that I haven't touched upon in a little while. You know, I've danced around it, but I haven't really gone all the way in. And, you know, today's one of those days. I'm feeling very, very uplifted. I'm very grateful and thankful for my husband, my family, my dear close friends, my sisters. You know, we got a chance to entertain some friends this weekend, and we just had a most marvelous time. It was just beautiful. And it's always wonderful when you're able to connect with like-minded individuals because, you know, we know a variety of different types of people. You know, as human beings, we have friends and family members that, you know, may not necessarily be, you know, kind of like we are or even, you know, hold our specific mindset or whatever. Doesn't mean we love them any less. We love them to pieces. But when you have individuals in your life that you connect with in a way that is very spiritual, and very similar, and energetic frequency is vibrating very, very similarly, and it feels wonderful when you're in their presence and when you're in their presence, you know. You know, we also felt that way last weekend when we were with our dear friends, you know, Aaron and Davion out in South Orange. It was beautiful. We just had a wonderful time. We flowed. We chilled. It's just wonderful to be able to connect with beautiful people. And that's very, very important for your mind dynamic, because the people who you spend your time with are people who will rub off onto you. And if they have habits and ideas and things that aren't necessarily harmonious with yours, then gradually it can become a little bit more difficult to be around that person. And that doesn't mean you don't love them. You can love them, but they're, you know, a different mindset, just a different type of individual, a different entity. And, you know, we're all here having our experiences. But, again, it is wonderful and it is just vainglorious when you're able to be in the presence of dear friends who you really vibe with. You know, and I'm grateful that we, you know, we have a lot of friends. I'm grateful for the friends that we have. They're amazing and beautiful, beautiful spirits, and their intent is genuine and loving, and their disposition is genuine and loving and kind and giving and sharing and just beautiful. So, you know, if you're missing that in your life, you might need to try to, you know, look in the mirror and figure out what you're doing or what you're not doing in terms of having valuable relationships. You know, blood is thicker than water, but sometimes friendship is greater than family. And there's nothing against family. We love family. But, you know, sometimes your friends can just have that vibration, that energy where it's like, oh, my gosh. You know, and we have dear, dear friends with that type of energy. You know, I mean, I can't name everybody, but I mean, ooh, there's so many of you. Y'all are beautiful. Y'all are beautiful. In any event, I have to give a major, major shout out to my husband, DJ Pitch Control. I'm giving him a shout out because we had held down several engagements at a little club / wannabe sports bar in East Orange, New Jersey. He did several dates, and the first time he played with DJ Hakeem, that was cool. The second time he played with DJ Davion, aka DJ Disco, what up? The last time he played by himself the entire night. And each event was beautiful and unique in its own way. Each one of them was wonderful. You know, this last one was fierce because he played all night and he just kept hitting us, you know, just bam, 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 just hitting us with these beautiful, beautiful songs that just made you keep dancing till you hurt yourself. You know, everybody, you know, I know my knee was shot the next day. I was like, you know, we just did everything we could to just keep dancing because the music was so fly. But I want to thank DJ Robert Andrews, for having the vision to provide our people in the house music community, our deep house heads, our regular house heads, even our follow me house heads, an opportunity to have a venue where we could really get it in. I mean, the brother literally cut into the floor of this establishment and installed wood for us to dance on. We had a beautiful dance floor, okay? It was beautiful. The wood was lovely. It was so helpful because anybody who's a real dancer out there, you know what it's like when you want to get it in on a wood floor and not be on concrete, killing yourself. Now, he had this vision with a black-owned business. And the black-owned business has been there for damn near 40 years. And they do their thing, and they do their numbers, you know. But in the larger picture, they lack vision, they lack courage, and they lack basically the integrity to not only honor your word, but to see a vision that somebody has when they're providing you with additional money because, you know, the crowds were great. People were buying food and buying beverages at the bar and, you know, supporting the establishment in itself. So, you know, even though the prices were too high, you know, $10 for some fish and chips, and you're going to take two pieces of fish and cut them into four pieces like somebody got more fish. Listen, there's much that I could say, but I'm trying to just stay above the fray and be positive about everything. But, you know, in a nutshell, the owner of the establishment shot himself in his own foot, so to speak, because he lacked the vision. And DJ Rob Andrews had installed, which are those big metallic square-shaped things where they put all the lights on, you know, like a lighting rig, basically. There were two of those in there. You know, he had state-of-the-art equipment. The sound was banging in there. He had the JBL 5 series in there. Like, what? It was awesome. He painted the bathrooms. He, you know, made things look nice. He gave us a wall to write on, you know, to sign and stuff in the ladies' room. You know, we had mega, mega space. Everybody could get it in. People were on the floor. They were doing floor work. It was beautiful, and it took us back to a time when we used to be able to do that. You know, we used to go to the club like every weekend, every other weekend. I mean, unless I had a gig, I'm coming to the club. I'm coming. We're getting it in. And a lot of us, you know, began our journey in house music when we were teenagers. You know, I remember I was 15 years old going to Club Encore, you know, in Queens. You know, and then we, you know, worked our way up to, you know, all of the major wonderful clubs that just gave us freedom and love and joy, you know. I mean, from, you know, the small venues like, you know, the Snob Buster parties, or, you know, you went to Red Zone, you went to Baseline, you know, then, you know, you went to the Garage, you know, we were in the Garage, honey. What? Yes, we were. EYA, Larry LeVan, we were in the Garage. You know, we went to Club Renaissance, we went to Leviticus, we went to the Loft, you know, then we went to Shelter Parties, and then we went to Together in Spirit, and, you know, Afterlife, and all these amazing parties where DJs just took you into a trance, like you could get it in for hours upon end. I mean, we would get to Shelter sometimes 2 o'clock in the morning, sometimes 6 o'clock in the morning. Yes, we would get up and go and get to the club at 6 in the morning because we weren't going to get out until like 12:30 and 3 o'clock. And we're dancing like the whole time. We're getting it in because the music is just banging. You know, Timmy Richardson, Kevin Head, Tyrone Francis, Quentin Harris used to give it to us up in the shelf. You know, we had these experiences that we long for, even though, yeah, some of us have arthritis and, you know, you got to wrap that knee up and, you know, some of us have a cane. Some of us may have a crutch. But we come into the club when we know it's going to be dynamic, it's going to be banging. So, you know, all of the other parties even that were at Bravo, you know, kudos to everybody. You know, kudos to Juju and Trey for having their event there. You know, it takes energy and courage to have vision to want to have a real house music party because, you know, your DJ's got to be banging and whatever your little extra accoutrements are going to be, if there are any at all, you know, has got to be on point. So, you know, I'm grateful to Rob for seeing the vision and name of the party. Our party is called Pure, you know, where the music is always pure and, you know, makes you feel good and you're going to get it in. So, again, it was beautiful. You know, another shout-out again to DJ Davion, a.k.a. Disco. You know, big shout-out, you know, for just, you know, bringing your energy and playing dope, beautiful music for all of us, you know. You know, and then my husband, you know, always, you know, taking us home in each of the nights. But this last one, when he played the whole time, it was just ridiculous. It was off the chain. It was ridiculous. It was phenomenal. You know, and super shout outs to, you know, KK and Live and Caroline and all of the crew, you know, Vern and Rich and, you know, everybody that comes out, Aaron, Daddy, everybody that comes out and represents and shows their love. We're so, so grateful to each and every one of you. Because without any of you, there's no party. You know, we jam at home together all the time. We rock at home. But, you know, when you play out and you see the reaction of people hearing a song for the first time and being like, oh, my God, you know, and just feeling it, it's always a wonderful experience. So, you know, the vision is not displaced. We will continue to move forward. You know, Rob is looking for another venue. But it truly is the loss of the venue that we were in. You know, black-owned business, been there for a long time, but you just can't shake, you know, having, you know, eyes like saucers when it comes to money when it's wintertime and You know how our folk in the winter anyway, to get folks to come out in the winter. And it snowed that night, and people still came out and got it in. But, you know, our folk in the wintertime don't like to come out like that. So we're trying to grow the party. We're trying to grow the party. Rob is trying to grow the whole thing and have it as a club on the weekends, Friday and Saturday night, getting it in. You know, so it's a damn shame that it wasn't able to continue, especially after everything he put into it. You know, even the light show was amazing. You know, he had just recently had an artist come in and paint a beautiful mural. You know, it was banging. And you know, it's a damn shame when other black folks, sorry, can't get themselves together, can't see a vision, and they're too greedy. They're greedy. That's a shame. That's a shame. So, you know, please don't conduct business in that way. You know, we're trying to make magic happen and make people feel good, give people something to look forward to as well as something to be, you know, memorable in their lives, because music is transcending, and music takes you to a whole different place just by a tune. You know, you can hear a song and remember when you heard it for the first time, or a song from back in the day that you remember listening to on WABC radio, you know, which was AM. You know, still, it was your favorite song, or you heard the Jackson 5, you know, back in the day. You know where you were sometimes when you hear a song. So it's the same way in the house music community, you know, and the music is just so beautiful. There's so much music. There's so much music. So, you know, again, thank you to everyone who came out to the parties and supported and showed your love. It was awesome and dynamic. You know, we're going to continue to make magic happen. You know, we also do the frequency one-on-one headphone parties. You know, we can do a headphone party anywhere. We're doing our annual beach party this summer on Atlantic City on July 13th, which is a Saturday. We start at 12 noon, and we rock till it's dark, baby. Okay, it's beautiful. It's a wonderful experience. We, you know, we, of course, look forward to beautiful, fantastic weather and friendly skies. You know, we have a lot going on. We're also doing our big event called Jumbo, which is in August, on Saturday, August 10th. It's held at Mad Apples. Mad Apples Loaded Food and Dessert Joint, which is owned by Sister Shayna, who is a beautiful human being and a heck of a cook. And she'll be up in there frying up her food. And, ooh, that food is delicious, y'all. It puts you in a coma. You know, and she's got her own 31 flavors. And it's just a wonderful experience. We have vendors. If you're interested in vending, please inbox me. On Facebook or on Messenger at Amina K. Hassel. There's a lot happening. My husband's also constantly posting, you know, his mixes. He just came out with mix number 175. It's not a game of joke or drill. He's on SoundCloud. I always talk about him every episode. Please go to SoundCloud.com and get your life. Look up DJ Pitch Control, PYTCHCONTROLL. And get your music on, okay? So I had to, you know, say that. Again, you know, we as melanin-dominant people have really got to solidify how we do business. As Dr. Claude Frazier likes to always say, you know, we like to just do business, but we need to do business. And it needs to be above board, and it needs to be, you know, contracted, invoiced, whatever is necessary. But these are the things that need to happen. And, again, you know, just continue to build with people who see your vision. You know, we see Rob's vision. We are right there. Like, wherever he goes, we're going to be. The brother's dynamic. And, you know, it's wonderful that he and my husband have a wonderful relationship. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. So, moving on to my next part of the conversation. This will be interesting. All right, so as I stated before, I truly hope that everyone is well and in bright spirit. And speaking of spirits, the brand new Evan Williams Honey Whiskey has just come out. OMG, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. I'm sorry, I have to give it my review. I am a connoisseur of honey whiskey. From Jack Daniels to American Honey to which is Wild Turkey, Jim Beam Honey, you know, there's a variety of them. And my, you know, favorite inexpensive one used to be Evan Williams Honey Whiskey. It's absolutely horrible. It is horrible. I don't know who okayed this. I was like, who okayed this? What is going on? The bottle design is now, like, stolen from the neck of a Jack Daniel's bottle. The new label has some sort of textured effect on it. Like, they just want to make sure you don't drop it, which you really might drop it after you taste it. You know, I actually went back downstairs to look at the label, you know, which was new, and I don't even see the word whiskey under the word honey anymore. Hello? Okay. And they got this, you know, tacky, glued-on label. Before, it was, you know, the clear bottle with the lettering and the little bumblebee and what have you etched onto the glass, painted onto the glass. Now, all of a sudden, we got this low-grade label slapped onto the bottle, you know, like they're going to do, like, in an assembly line. Just I'm like, really? Really? What happened? Who took over? What is going on? And then I was like, well, no wonder I didn't, you know, see the word whiskey under the word honey, because I didn't really taste a hint of whiskey. I tasted something that had heat to it, but it was absolutely disgusting, and I didn't really taste a hint of real whiskey, not a drop. So I really can't see how anyone would deliberately buy this after tasting it. My other question to the Evan Williams folk, you know, is there some sort of adjustment that they made specifically for black people? You know, it tastes horrible. It tastes like bad candy. And, you know, I know, you know, some of us had that auntie back in the day that used to have that bowl of different colored oblong shiny candy pieces in the dish on the, you know, coffee table in the living room. You remember that long, like oblong, like maybe a half an inch, very shiny, multicolored, different colored candy. Y'all remember that dish. And, you know, there would be times when you would reach on in there and snatch up a piece real fast, you know, put it in your mouth all quick so no adult could really see you getting candy. You know, but then you realize after you threw it in your mouth that it tastes disgusting, and then you're like, oh, my God. And so then you want to take it out of your mouth, but you really kind of can't because there's nowhere to put it. You know, she got candy, but she ain't got no tissues. And so you're holding it then in your hand, and it's melting as you secretly make your way to the bathroom to peel it off the palm of your hand and throw it away. That is what I experienced when I drank this particular, quote-unquote, honey whatever. It's not whiskey, last night. I was very, very, very disappointed because they should have just left it alone. It was fine the way it was. So this is where my query comes in, because why are we messing with perfection? It was smooth. It was sweet. It had a nice little hint of honey. It wasn't overbearing. This thing, this was frightening. I had three different reactions when I'm drinking it. And I like my cocktails to be nice and smooth. And I was just like, oh my God, you know, when you first taste it, you're like, okay, you know, then it gets like to the middle of your tongue and you're like, okay, I don't know. And then when you finally swallow it and it goes down and you get this after kick, that kick of a mule, it's hard. Like there's this thing that happens at the end where it's just like, oh God, like don't do that again. So I had to, you know, basically, you know, I'm black, so I'm not throwing it away. I'm like, I bought it, right? So I'm drinking it with flavored seltzer water because I can't take it by itself. And usually I used to be able to take the original Evan Williams honey on the rocks. It's nice and smooth. It was easy. I don't know what this is. This is worse than medicine. I might sip on some Vicks before I sip this. You understand what I'm saying? They did a very bad job. And I'm really PO'd. So I'm going to be, you know, contacting them. I've already sent them one message. I might do it again just at the, you know, memory of what it actually tastes like. It was horrible. Somebody over there really needs to know. Okay? That's all I'm going to say. You know, and I would advise you to not buy it. Don't get it. Don't be bothered. Just let it go. It's okay. Let it rock. Let it rock. Oh, my God. All right. On to my next portion. For decades, you know, some of you are aware, some of you are not, but for decades I have studied mind dynamics as well as melanin, the properties of melanin, melanin dynamics, what it does in the body, what, you know, who's got it, what's popping, da da da. And within my studies, you know, I also learned that the word meditation means to become familiar with. And I found that to be very, very interesting, because when you're meditating, you are focusing on either an aspect of nothingness to try to clear your mind, which is very difficult in the beginning, or you're focusing on a desire or something that you wish to experience in your life, or something that you may wish for even someone else. But the mind is extremely powerful. And so tonight we're going to talk a little bit about this. I also want to, remind my listeners, I love everybody in the human family. I think we're all wonderful. However, melanin dominant have a genetic makeup that is made up of carbon, majority, okay, carbon, selenium, and copper. Now, melanin recessive people's genetic makeup is primarily made up of nitrogen, sulfur, and ammonia. Now, ponder that for just a moment, okay? Melanin dominant people are people that you may classify as Black, as Latino, as Native American, as Polynesian, as South Pacific Islander, as Native Hawaiian, as African, as Native Australian, New Zealand, okay, even Native to South America, Central America, and all of the Caribbean. Melanin-dominant people, again, are genetically made up of majority carbon, selenium, and copper. But melanin recessive people, people who you would classify as white people, albinoid people, are made up of primarily nitrogen, sulfur, and ammonia. Again, ponder on that for a moment. There is a lot that is actually stated in what I just said. I'm not going to dig too much into it. I'm going to let you use your own imagination and use your mind. But that's a heck of a difference. Very, very different. You know what else is made up of primarily carbon? You know, the earth, the soil of the earth, rocks. Okay, anyway. So it's always bothered me when I hear people say that all human beings are alike, because we're really not. We have a lot of similarities. But then when we come down to the microbiological, when we come down to the even the macro in certain instances, on a chemical level, on a substance level, which is inside of us and the things that make us up, we're very, very different. And even our pathology is different. And so, unfortunately, when we go to the doctor, majority of us, especially if we don't have a homeopathic, the majority of us are being, our pathology is being judged by the pathology of a white person, aka a melanin recessive person. So we have a different pathology, and you can't really treat the two the same. Our iron levels are different. Many things within us are very, very different, and what is normal for a melanin recessive person is not normal for a melanin dominant person. So, you know, the other thing that some people can have an issue with, you know, and have a problem with, is that being melanin dominant also gives an individual a very special and distinct relationship with the sun, the cosmos, every ray of light in our existence, space, time, dimensions, all aspects, every single aspect that we're aware of, melanin-dominant people may intuit, meaning decipher, move through, understand, understand, overstand. We're dancing in a sea of light. And as melanin dominant people, we're like Michael Jackson dancing. Like, we are doing amazing things within this dynamic. Now, all of us, you know, our brains are wonderful. We all have a brain, we all have a mind, we are all individuated aspects of the Most High, the Creator, Creatress of all things. However, again, melanin-dominant people are your progenitor. Melanin-dominant people are the original people on the planet. Melanin-recessive people are the last people to be developed on this planet. So people who are the last of the human family to have developed. The original human is a melanin dominant, deep, deep, deep black, blue, black, beautiful, blue, black, black people. And so as we move around the planet and different regions and different mountains and all these different things, our altitude, blah, 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 we then variate into all these lovely different hues. Our skeletal and muscular structure as melanin dominant people is unique and dynamic and different in many, many ways. And it allows us to move in a certain fluid and natural way. Our rhythm and coordination are quite keen. And all of our senses are very, very strong. We all have five senses, and we all have the power to interact with the sixth sense, which is ether. But in any event, as melanin-dominant people, our vision is stronger. We see more. We actually take in more imagery, more color in our eyes. We hear far deeper and far farther than a melanin-recessive person. Our sense of smell is extremely strong, and our sense of taste is equally as strong, and this is why we like spicy, flavorful food. Our taste buds are not dull. When you eat food from Great Britain, when you eat their local food, not the West Indian or Indian or Indonesian or any other type of food, but their food is so bland and disgusting, it's not funny. And this is no slight to British people, but for God's sake, if you mess up a hamburger, you got a problem. And they can jack up a hamburger. They can jack up meat sauce and spaghetti. They can just absolutely just, it's disgusting. So you can, you know, there's that food. And I've learned, you know, I've been to London and I've been to England many, many times. I never eat their food. I always go to a West Indian or an Indian or even an African or Indonesian restaurant to eat. I am not eating their food. It's gross. It has no taste. It's so bland. It's like you're eating carpet. You understand? Nobody wants to eat a carpet burger. But that's what it's like. But, of course, you know, when I'm with my people and, you know, we're having Jamaican food or we're having Spanish food, you know, even, you know, good old-fashioned delicious Southern food from the United States, come on. It's off the chain. It's succulent. The flavors in Cajun salmon. Like, come on, man. Come on. So this is not a slight to a melanin-recessive individual, but this is actual fact. This is scientific, biological, chemistry. This is fact, okay? And our skin is magnificent. Our skin, you know, and it bothers me when I see brothers and sisters, especially sisters like in Nigeria and parts of Africa, bleaching their skin. I cannot think of a more asinine thing to actually do with my time. There's no way on God's green earth that I would want to bleach my skin. I'm trying to get as black as coal. There's no way in the world anyone could pay me money to bleach my skin because I know melanin-dominant skin is amazing. Again, it is akin to the earth itself. It is akin to the soil and the ground that that grows the vegetables and the trees and everything under the sun. Come on. But melanin-dominant skin varies through many different, you know, hues. And our skin has sparkles in it when you really look at it, especially if it gets a little moist, if there's a bit of sweat on us, and we look at our skin. We are actually seeing the electromagnetic spectrum in color reflect and be absorbed into our skin because melanin-dominant skin is a receiver. And because our skin is an additional brain, it's a second brain, the amount of information that we are collecting on a regular basis, just from every cosmic ray, including sunlight, okay, including electromagnetic light, we are dancing in it, and we're soaking it up. And that's why it's important for us especially to get as much sunlight as possible. This is why we can't be crazy and think, I don't want to get any darker. I'm trying to stay out of the sun. No, get your behind in the sun so that you can soak up the sunlight. You can absorb the actual light of the sun. Your skin synthesizes it and turns it into vitamin D. That is the only source of real vitamin D. Real vitamin D comes from the sun. Why do you think that drink is called Sunny D? Vitamin D comes from the sun. And we, as melanin-dominant people, can intuit and receive information from the sun, as well as upgrade our DNA, activate our pineal gland. All kinds of amazing, wonderful, fun things are happening. So we have got to love our beautiful black cells, and we have got to love the sun. And again, we need to love each other. We've been taught to hate each other. We've been taught to look down at other, quote unquote, black people. We've been taught that light is right, when in actuality, the blue-black is the best. Honestly speaking. So, you know, that is very, very, very key, because if you lack self-love, meaning that you don't love who you see in the mirror, you don't love your body. Like, there's a lot of body shaming. There's a lot of I don't like my hair, all this kind of stuff that melanin-dominant people put themselves through. And I know that we've been taught racism and we've been taught that we were ugly, but you've got to have enough sense at this time and this point in your life that you realize that that was some bullshit, pardon my expression, because the person who told you that was really envious and jealous of you for the entire time. And so just because that also gets cast into the enslavement of our people here, our Native American, beautiful, dark-skinned Native American brothers and sisters right here, as well as the kidnapping of Africans off of the west coast of Africa. Do not let that make you feel like the reason why we were enslaved was because we were less than. No, we were enslaved because we were the best. We were the best. We were the strongest. We were the smartest. Even though you wouldn't let us read, you wouldn't let us speak in our native languages, and for God's sake, you wouldn't even let the African or the Native American here in America keep a drum, we still managed to soar. We still managed to fly. We still managed to shine. We still managed to achieve. And then we break records and win Nobel laureate awards and what have you. So there's no one on the face of this planet that could ever, ever tell me that melanin-dominant people were a worthless subhuman people. No, that was a label that was put upon us by someone who was so scared to death of us. They had to just work our ass night and day for centuries until finally we're free. Ever let any of that time period make you feel that you're less than, make you feel that you're not handsome or that you're not pretty or that you're not attractive, because somebody's attracted to somebody on this planet. Please believe me. It ain't like none of us ain't never seen some people might say they were unattractive, happy and in love with each other as they want to be. So that has nothing to do with it. And stop being superficial and shallow. There's a lot of superficial and shallow shit going on. Pardon my expression yet again, but I'm talking tonight. Because our state of being is only going to change when we love ourselves. When we love each other and we have reverence and respect and honor for each other and for who we are as an individual. We cannot expect for shit to change in our community, anywhere on this planet, until we love who and what we really are. We are brilliant, and we are original humans. We have given birth to every people that exists on this planet. We are dynamic and strong and super intelligent, talented beyond belief. And then when we see it, we don't connect to it. I'm sorry. I connect to it. When I used to watch Michael Jordan play on the Chicago Bulls, I was like, dad's a brother, I'm a sister. This is who we are. Look at him go. when I heard about the achievements and the accomplishments of Dr. Charles Drew with blood plasma, and I learned about George Washington Carver and all of the amazing discoveries he did with plants, when I learned about the strength and the fearlessness and the courage of Harriet Tubman and how she could go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, riding through all types of terrain because we had no highways back then, risking her life to save groups of people who are her people. Now we look at each other with disdain. Now we think about how can I get over on him? How can I lie to her? How can she believe my crap? So we have to really get ourselves together. And, you know, the first thing that we need to do with that is love who we are. Love who we are and love everybody that looks like us. Just love all of us. We've all been through a lot. I don't care what shade of melanin you are. We have all been through a lot. But we must persevere. We must transcend. We must go on ahead, and we must adapt and overcome. And this is what we do. So if this is what we do anyway, let's supercharge that, knowing that our melanin has a complete relationship with all of the cosmos and the sun. Our melanin is before the chlorophyll that's in all the leaves and makes everything green. Chlorophyll is melanin's second cousin. Does the same thing. The same thing chlorophyll does inside of plants is the same thing melanin does in us, except for the fact that we are animated and we can walk and we can talk and draw and dribble and create and study and learn and grow. Like, plants get to grow too, and they have their own intelligence as well. Do yourself a favor and check out The Secret Life of Plants by Stevie Wonder. But melanin is a super intelligence. Melanin is in the universe. Melanin is what holds our universe together and pushes it out at the same time. Dark matter, dark energy, that's melanated energy. Everything comes from that consciousness. Everything, everything everywhere comes from that consciousness. So when we are melanin dominant, we are walking examples of that consciousness, that particular consciousness, which is very vast. It is boundless, limitless, infinite. Infinite. The greatest thing you could do as a parent is to tell your child whatever you think about you can do. Be a good person. Love yourself because you're beautiful and special. But whatever you put your mind to it, you can do. And that is the truth, period. People look at the magician David Blaine and lose their mind. David Blaine's mother told him when he was about 6, 7 years old, David, there's anything you put your mind to, you can do. Look at him go. So all of us have that ability inside of us. It's whether or not you're using it or not. You know, and one of the beautiful conversations that I had with my girlfriend over the weekend, you know, we get into some deep, heavy conversation, and we were discussing, you know, just mind dynamics. I was just talking about, like, how things actually work and how we need to begin to envision the life that we do desire. Envision what, if you want that new job, envision yourself doing that new job. If you, you know, want a husband, then you work on yourself and you love yourself wholly. And you put yourself in a vibration where you love yourself so much that he's just magnetized to you. He's literally magnetized to you because your energy is so beautiful and so wonderful and you love yourself so much. Not necessarily in a negative or conceited way, but in a confident and overstanding way because you know how powerful you are. Do that first and then envision yourself with a partner. Trust me, it'll happen. Whatever it is that you desire and you envision it and your intent is loving and positive and good. Good intention is a lot. Now, I know our grandmothers used to say that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. But when you have a positive intent behind a desire, first of all, it helps to make it come into fruition easier. Y'all know how hard wicked people have to work to be wicked? That's why they don't never slow down, because they just constantly have to be wicked in order to bring about negative things. Well, the same thing works if you're using positive energy. But it can happen even quicker because it is a loving and positive energy. Are you following me? And so we have to really, really get control of our minds. You get control of your mind and you can get control of your life, honestly speaking. Because things like fear and worry and doubt, insecurity and what have you, pardon me, those are not going to produce the results that you desire. And so I always express to individuals that you can't have a dream and then pee on it. You can't do that. You can't tell yourself, I want to have this amazing, wonderful new home. I'm moving, and wherever I'm moving into, it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be beautiful. And then during other times in your unconscious and your subconscious, you're telling yourself, I ain't going to find no way to live. I can't find nothing nice. I can't find nothing nice. There ain't nothing nice for me. I can't find nothing. You do that, and trust me, you are not going to find the pretty home that you're looking for. And so being worthy and knowing that you're worthy of your desires is also exceptionally important, because there are a lot of us running around feeling unworthy. And I'm going to tell you right now, damn it, if you are here, darling, if you're here, if you can hear me, hello, if you wish to feel that level of joy and self-acceptance, that is one of the first things that you need to accept. I am worthy. And say it to yourself. I am worthy. Y'all, did you know that when you say I am, and whatever follows it is so strong and has the propensity to give you the reality that whether you like it or you don't, you tell yourself I'm ugly and stupid, you're going to be ugly and stupid. People will find you ugly and stupid if you really say to yourself, I'm ugly and I'm stupid, and you say it to yourself, I am ugly and I'm stupid. You can't do that and expect glory and joy. You've got to know that you're intelligent enough. If you want more intelligence, then dagnabbit, start learning and start reading and start studying. If you know that you're worth being happy. And I have individuals that I speak to. I don't like to say counsel because I'm not an MSW, but I've been studying social work and sociology and psychology for so long. And then comes mind dynamics, and I've been studying that for decades, and I can see clearly what happens when we lose our way and when we just have no idea of how powerful we really, really are. And so it's unfortunate because most of the major religions, in their basic explanation of things in life and how we're supposed to live, none of that tells you that you're amazingly powerful, that you are so, so powerful that you can create another life for yourself, a new life for yourself, a new situation, a new partner, a new creation, a new invention, a new something that you've made, anything. But you've got the power. You've got the power to do it all. And with everything happening on our planet right now, everything going on around us, it's actually imminent that we all do our best to maintain a very positive disposition and keep our frequency up as high as possible. Because, again, whether we're aware of it or not, each and every one of us carries our own consciousness, and this consciousness has its own energy. And, you know, that could be the energy of your bubble. Like, we're all surrounded by an energetic field that comes from us. We have our own. Everyone has our own energetic bubble. We're all in it. And there are times when we get close enough to each other that you feel someone else's energy. And Lord knows when that energy is funky, you move away from that energy. Your bubbles are touching. You don't like it. It's uncomfortable. Nope, we're not doing that. But then on another instance, you can have your bubble and you can come close to somebody and it feels good. Their energy is positive. It's loving. It's kind. You can feel it. So get back in touch with your feelings, because this is what we're doing, whether we're conscious about it or not. And our own consciousness connects to a greater energetic force that we would call a collective consciousness, meaning that it is comprised of every soul's consciousness. Within your consciousness is your disposition, how you see things. Is the glass half full? Is the glass half empty? Is life joyous, abundant, and beautiful, or is life a piece of hell? What is your life? How do you view it? How do you view yourself? Again, what's your self-worth like? Where is your self-esteem? Do you have self-esteem? You know, it's called self-esteem because you have to get it. It's self-esteem. Nobody can give you self-esteem. You have to give yourself self-esteem. But then as you learn and you grow through positive relationships and interactions and experiences, then you get a greater sense of self, your self-esteem. You have a confident level. You realize that I am in control of what is happening in my life. And that's something that I think frightens people, and they'd rather give it all to Jesus. They'd rather give it to Allah. They'd rather give it to God. They'd rather give it away to a magnificent power source in their mind that they believe controls everything, and it does overarchingly. But as human beings with a mind and a brain and a heart, we are controlling and conducting this experience. I always like to say, we are the producer, the director, and the star of our own movie. We are. Yes, I'm grateful to the Most High, creative creator of all things, for being a piece of it. I understand that it is also experiencing life through me. It experiences life through us, and there's so many of us, because it is that. We're talking about the energetic force of creation. Everything that we can see and most of what we cannot. Because, again, what we're seeing is about this small percentage of our absolute reality. Our absolute reality has dark matter, dark energy in it, and that is the majority of our reality. So that is the majority of our reality. Wouldn't it not behoove us, would it not behoove us to get conscious about that and realize that with every millisecond of the freaking day, we are creating our experiences and we're creating our own life. We're creating our experience as an entity here on this planet. We have free will. Your free will is amazing. Your free will is not a curse. Okay, obtaining knowledge and learning is not a curse. And so somebody gave you a bad bag of bad goods when they told you that the whole Adam and Eve story and, you know, Eve is wicked and, you know, she eats from the tree of knowledge that she's not supposed to eat from, and, you know, they blame the woman for wanting knowledge, like, and we're supposed to be, you know, these little people and be behind our husbands and do everything he says and, you know, bring in the slippers when he walks in the door and all these kinds of things. And it's like, obviously you don't understand the universe. And that's why I always go back to ancient Kemet, because they knew that the universal force of creation was a female energy. The queen of the sky is Nut. Covers the entire universe, our solar system included, everything. Everything is within Nut. Everything. Then we get down to being actual physical, biological entities. And who is the one who is naturally endowed with the opportunity to bring life through her body? The woman. So all this story about, you know, Adam, you know, Eve coming from Adam's rib and all this stupidity, stop. That's a whole other story which we are not going to get into tonight. But that's another allegorical story from a different time period and from different people. That is not how the cosmos works at all. Melanin recessive men during the last ice age that just happened, you know, 10,000 years ago, but that last ice age did a lot of damage to the European mindset, especially male, because they became very, very violent and barbarous and homosexual through their experience, you know, trapped in the ice and having to fend for themselves and find food and shelter and all these different things. And, you know, that's why they always wore animal skins and things of this nature, because, you know, there was no flora, there was no fauna. It was just, you know, ice and snow and, you know, wild animals. And that individual then becomes prey in that environment. So it's a completely different mindset from the mindset of the melanin dominant person who lived way below the 51st parallel and didn't suffer through that ice age. You know, they still had the flora and the fauna and the fruits and the vegetables and everything was awesome. So, and I'm just trying to give you all, like, reference pieces, because this conversation is in no way bigotry or being unfair to a melanin recessive individual. I'm just talking facts here. I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm just giving you facts. So being that we connect to this collective consciousness, all of us, no matter what your nationality, race, creed, color, hue, whatever, every one of us, all of our energy goes into the collective consciousness. So those of us who are doing light work, those of us who are maintaining a higher frequency on a regular basis as often as possible, those of us who meditate on purpose, those of us who are praying for the world and praying for the entire solar system in the universe and praying for all of humanity and all living things, you know, we exist and we're working real hard and we work really, really hard to combat the negative energy that a nice chunky group of people hold. You know, the woe is me people. You know, we can't really afford as a human collective to keep emitting negative and self-destructive energy, you know, into the universe through, you know, different emotions and thoughts and feelings. We can't do that all the time. And so our society can mimic a woe is me type of vibe. When stuff goes wrong, it's very easy, very, very easy. And I say that because I've been there myself in my past. But it's very easy to come down hard on yourself when something doesn't work out. It's very, very easy to misjudge self when we're in situations and or circumstances where we're very, very unhappy and we can't figure out, A, how we got there, or B, how the hell to get out. And so we'll begin to self-sabotage and we'll say things to ourselves that are very negative and not good. And even though, you know, we still have this glimmer of hope for this other reality, but we're so stuck in what we actually are experiencing and seeing and what have you, that it keeps us submerged energetically. It won't allow us to raise a frequency. It won't allow you to change your disposition because, number one, you keep telling yourself that you're ugly or you're stupid or you can't do it or you're not worthy or whatever. And so your dream is still there, but it's deferred. Because you keep poking holes in it. You keep peeing on it. Don't do that. If you know you've got a desire, whatever it is, hold that bad boy. And again, like in the morning before you even put your feet on the floor, if you don't have to pee, like honestly, take the time to envision what your day will be like. Envision what you wish to experience or plan something even in the near future that you want to experience, but you see it in a vision. You put yourself in it. You put yourself right in the scene. You know what it looks like. You might even know what it smells like and tastes like. You put yourself in there, okay? Put on a nice outfit. Put yourself in there. Project your energy into that and be grateful and thankful for it. And we've got to get back to being grateful and thankful for things that we haven't even seen or received yet. Because the ultimate vibration of the universe is love. The strongest vibration in the universe is love. What I like to share is the universe loved itself so much that it wanted to see itself. And so it burst into creation to create all of which we can see and experience. But then it went a step further when it decided to individuate itself into us and let us have this eternal soul where we just keep coming, where we just keep coming and going from this place until we become so enlightened that we don't need to come back anymore. We don't, you know, unless we want to. You know, we keep choosing these different realities and these different lifetimes. Some of them are very long, some of them are very short. Some of them were male, some of them were female. But we choose these experiences so that we can self-master, so that we can get to an enlightened level where you literally don't need to keep coming back and forth from here. This is school. Earth is school. We come here to learn. We come here to grow. We come here to be the best aspects of who we truly are. We come to shine our soul on each other. We come to love and laugh. We come to experience and create. That's what we come here for. And so the more you envelop yourself in negativity and doing stupid shit, pardon the expression, being selfish or being mean or not thinking about others or, you know, just not disconnecting. Like, I mean, you know, do check in on folks every now and again. You know, care about other people. Have compassion for other people. You know, sometimes, yeah, try to put yourself in their shoes. One thing about being a social worker and being in the field of social work and education, I constantly had to put myself in other people's shoes so that I could see what lens they're looking through and then, of course, be myself and learn how to help them change that lens. And that's all that needs to happen. Because as soon as you change your lens, as soon as you decide that you see the world differently and you see the world as a wonderful, abundant place, a place of magical possibilities where you can just really achieve your dreams and be the best you that you can be. When you begin to look at life that way, please, your vibration jumps. It just flies. It gets higher. And then soon, you know, if you continue to do that and, you know, do the meditation like I mentioned and say beautiful things to yourself. Tell yourself, I love you. Put your arms around yourself and hug yourself. Kiss your shoulder. Love yourself. You're amazing. You're beautiful and you're worth it because you're here. We're in the game. Every day we wake up, we're in the game. So play it right. Play it right. Somebody's messing with you. You're not supposed to be a doormat. That is not really any real logical philosophy. That's why I always say even Buddhist monks know how to whoop ass. Like, they're not up in there like they're not going to defend themselves if somebody comes to hurt them. No, they're going to slay. So, yeah, you have every right to stick up for yourself. You have every right to express yourself and find the best ways to express yourself without offending other people. You know? So we got to get out of the woe is me type of vibe. And especially now because we're transcending in the beginning of the age of Aquarius, and it'd be nice if we could have a nice, you know, warp speed type of jump, because the more of us that begin to vibrate on this level of frequency and realize that love and compassion and kindness and giving and smiling at strangers and asking people how they are even if you don't know them, you know, checking in on loved ones and all these different types of things and loving yourself and treating yourself right, we could really change the world. We could change the world. You know, the days of people mastering their coping skills is kind of over. A lot of people just have no idea how to deal when they have stress and they have a negative situation that's presented before them or that they're involved in or whatever. A lot of people just get stuck in that negative moment and just keep replaying it over and over and over and over and over again. And they just keep themselves, you know, in a different type of a loop. It's not the infinity loop, but it's an emotional loop. You know, people are emotionally afflicted, you know, depressed, not loving themselves in the right way. And they're stressing out, they're bugging out, they're wilding out. And they don't understand what's happening to them. Or in some cases, a loved one doesn't understand what another loved one is going through. you know, nonetheless, the time has come, you know, for me to talk about this a little bit more, because my morning meditations have been helpful. And then if I find a moment in the middle of the day and I go and I sit somewhere quietly and I'll project and I'll, you know, do some mudras, and I'm going to talk about the mudras a little bit later. But, you know, I'm raising my frequency, and I'm trying to help us raise each other. Okay? Don't be afraid, all right? Don't be afraid to go deep, all right? It's okay to go deep. The Age of Aquarius is all about the revelations of what has been hidden, and about femininity, and about depth and deep love and reverence for all life and each other, and emotional responsibility. The Age of Aquarius is on some new stuff. So if we have to, I mean, have to emulate the energy of the age that we're moving into. And the end of days, by the way, the end of days is not a biblical reference. Okay, it's literal in the sense of the Age of Pisces, which we came out of, you know, the Age of Pisces, that ended. And the Age of Aquarius is beginning. We're in the beginning of it. We're in it. That's it. And we are the ones with the power to alter our own reality and to change our lives for the better. It's only up to us as an individual. Nobody can do this work for you except for yourself. That's the other part. No one can do it. They can help you, you know, which I'm attempting to do, but you've got to do the work yourself. You've got to learn how to disconnect from other frequencies and sometimes other people. You have to learn how to disconnect and get into yourself and mold and shape yourself. All right? We are the ones with the power to alter our own reality, to change our lives for the better. So I'm going to try and I'm going to do my best to help you unlock your ability to think about yourself, because you are so much more amazing than you really, really realize. And I know some of us have our talents and our gifts and stuff like that, and we're like, I'm really, really good at that, you know, da-da-da. And sometimes we need to take a look at that, because that energy that we're using to go through that process, whatever it is, that is an energy of love, because we're wishing to create something not just for ourselves, but for other people to enjoy. So when you're doing something like that, love has to be your primary disposition, or it's not going to come out right. There is a man named Dr. Joe Dispenza. Please check him out when you get an opportunity. Okay, he is a specialist in mind dynamics in our modern time. Originally, I used to study Dr. Joseph Murphy. Amazing. The work was so helpful and enabled me and empowered me to learn how to create and master that part of my life and these different parts and aspects of myself. Excuse me. So we have to realize that stress gets in the way of our happiness and our joy and what we want to create, things like that. 9 times out of 10, if you're a very creative person, it's not easy for you to do what it is that you do when you're stressed out and you're upset. And we have to really realize and understand and know that stress is a high beta wave. There are different wave vibrations for our brain, okay? We got alpha, we got delta, we got beta, we got gamma, okay? So when we're stressed out, our brains are emitting on a frequency that is a high beta wave, activity in the brain. And so many of us exist in that brain wave activity. We exist in a state of stress, all right? And most of the time, the stress is based upon a feeling about the past. Okay, because like I said, we bring our past experiences right into the present moment, like it's actually happening, even though maybe it happened yesterday, last week, 2 months ago, some of y'all 5 years ago. But we hold on to negative emotions and negative energy over an experience. So we have to learn how to cut all those. Okay, stop dragging that around. Stop putting yourself in this constant state of stress because of something that happened okay? Because when we do bring our past experiences into our current reality all the time out of fear, we become victims instead of the real heroes that we are. And think about that for a moment. So when we meditate, we're bringing our mind and our body and our brain into the present moment, into the now. Okay, there's a book called The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. Read that one too. You know, again, I always talk about my library. Got to have a good library. And that book is very, very powerful. The Power of Now is important because, again, a lot of us don't really live in our moment. We don't live in our now. We are either, like I said, stressed out about something that already happened, or we're afraid about something that's going to happen. So it's either the future or the past, but very rarely are you afraid of the moment that you're in because you're not even allowing yourself to be in the moment that you're in. I hope you're following what I'm saying. So when we all stress all the time and we're either afraid of an experience that we've already had or we're afraid about something that's going to happen, and it can even be that you're stressed out about having your rent for the next month or whatever. But when we just overstress, then we just put ourselves into a state of victimhood. And when you're a victim, you're not a hero. Okay, I'm going to say that one more time. When you're a victim, you're not a hero. So if you really want to be a hero, then you have to do some work to get yourself out of the state of victimhood. And meditation can help with that. All right? Now, when we do take this time and we meditate and we learn to slow things down and we learn to slow that brainwave down, okay, and shift it to a different level, all right, we can change the neurological synapses in our brain, all right? Our brains are, our thoughts and different things in our brain are connected through what we call a neuronet, and it's just a web of information and thoughts that cluster together around a similar idea or a similar thought or a similar experience. And so our neuronet is always active, and when we, you know, have a thought, then that part of our neuronet literally lights up. It lights up. They've actually put little cameras in the brain. It lights up when we have a thought or an emotion or a feeling. And so when we can further connect with that, learn how to disconnect certain parts of your neural net that may not help you. They may not be of good assistance to you. It might be a situation that was just so horrible that you really have to cut it. Okay? But you can. And so, again, it's all about connecting with our actual desires and taking the time to connect with ourselves. All right? Again, we are all of us, every single one of us, whether we're aware of it or we're not, whether we're severely retarded, blind, deaf, can't speak, whatever, we are all in the game of evolution, all of us. And when we choose to be still, we give ourselves time to formulate a new reality. And when we're formulating this new reality and we are consciously staying away from thoughts and emotions of the past, and we realize that the past is past, all right? It already happened. We can't change it, all right? Stop wasting time on it. You give yourself the room and space to create a new and better reality for yourself, all right? And when we keep thinking the same thoughts over and over again, then we're definitely going to keep experiencing the same reality, okay? We think 60 to 70,000 different thoughts every day. And 90% of those thoughts we will think the next day. We need to think about new thoughts, all right? We need to think new thoughts because the same thoughts will only create the same experiences day in and day out. And so that is why so many of us feel like a hamster on a wheel because we keep having the same thoughts every day. And so we're going to keep experiencing the same reality based on those thoughts. I hope y'all are really following me. I'm giving y'all some jewels today. All right? So create your new thoughts so you can create a new reality. All right? You need to do it. You need to create new thoughts in order to create a new reality. okay? And by thinking the same thoughts each day and emoting the same chemicals in your brain on a daily basis forms your personality, okay? And your personality is your personal reality, okay? Your personality on your personal reality. If your personal reality is flooded with drama and fear and danger and crime and no food and no new clothes and, you know, no beautiful school with pretty books and, you know, no heat even. If your reality is not what you like, then you have to create new thoughts so that you can create a new reality. Okay? Being poor and impoverished, if you will, can also become a mindset. And when it becomes a mindset and you're only viewing the world through that particular lens, then you're going to continue to have those experiences. Okay, and you're going to be susceptible to the crime, to the cold, to the hunger, to whatever. You'll be susceptible to all of that because you have not created a new thought to change that reality and to get you out of it. And yes, it can take some time sometimes. As you continue to develop this ability within your mind through meditation, through positive thoughts, through raising your vibration, keeping a high frequency, then the time span between the desire and the manifestation of the reality will become shorter. It will happen faster. And hold on to your hat when it does. That, my friends, is a most amazing feeling. When you create a desire, hold it and hone it, and give thanks for it, let it go, and within 15 minutes, it's happening for you. That right there is mastery. Mastery. And every one of us has the possibility and opportunity to become masters of our lives. All right? No one is absent from this ability. No one. No one. We all have it. Okay? One of the things that I always used to be impressed about with the singer and guitar player and songwriter, Raul Midon, he's blind, and he's a twin. He and his brother were blinded by their incubation lights when they were babies in the incubator at the hospital. And they're blind. They were blind. They're blind for life. Now, Raul is an amazing songwriter, singer, and guitar player. Plays the guitar like a bandit. I mean, just phenomenal. And beautiful arrangements. Gorgeous, beautiful music. And the man can't see. And you know, you want to know what his brother is? His brother is an astrophysicist for NASA. But they're blind. Did that hold them back? Did that keep them from achieving their dream? Raul's dream was to go on tour and sing all around the world. That is what he's doing. I'm sure his brother's dream was to be an astrophysicist for NASA, and that's what he's doing. So I'm using this as an example because people would think that people who are blind might not be able to do a whole lot. I'm not talking about Stevie Wonder per se. I'm just talking about these twins who were born blind and become, you know, an incomparable musician and an amazing astrophysicist without sight. So again, we all have the power to create the lives that we desire, all right? It's all in your head. It is all in your head. Think about that. Think about your brain inside of your head. Think about how big your brain is. It's not that big, okay? It's a nice size, but it's not that big. But yet it's your control center, okay? And it allows us to see. It allows us to dance. It allows us to snap our fingers and talk. It allows us to sing. It allows us to do all the things that we do. It's even what allows us to have an orgasm. You know what it's like when you have an orgasm. It's like, woo, baby. So, again, you know, begin to learn to create new thoughts and new ways of loving yourself. Most of us have no idea that every emotion that we have is governed by a chemical that our hypothalamus gland creates in order for us to feel whatever it is that we're used to feeling. That's why addiction is so dangerous, because your brain gets used to the chemicals that you are introducing into your body, whatever chemicals they are, whether it's a candy bar, aspirin, potato chips, some weed, alcoholic beverage, whatever. You know, your brain creates the same chemical. And so when you start to come down or you don't have that particular, your brain then tells you, like, you want it. And then it makes you, want to do whatever it is that is, smoking cigarettes, whatever it is. So even if you have a habit like that and you begin to use meditation and you begin to use projection of thought, new thought, you can become sober from your addiction. And some people are addicted to buying clothes. Some people are addicted to buying cars. Some people are addicted to Bitcoin. Some people are addicted to Instagram. Addiction doesn't necessarily mean that you're even using a specific outside chemical. It's about the chemical reaction that happens in your brain. And see, for melanated people, for melanin-dominant people specifically, the melanin molecule can adapt and lock onto anything. And so that's why addiction is so much more difficult for melanin-dominant people, because the melatonin and the molecule in the melanin attaches itself to whatever that thing is. Like I said, whether it's an adrenaline rush, whether it's shopping, whether it's shoplifting, having sex, whether it's eating, arguing, whatever, your brain is going to emit a chemical that's going to tell you, we got to go do that, whatever that is. So if you learn meditation and you learn how to project thought and you breathe and you drink a lot of water, become symbiotic with the water, literally, think of you with the water like, I am pure, I am clear, I am good, okay, and begin to change your reality, all right? And those of you who've been listening to this show for over a year, you know, y'all have heard me say that our thoughts create things. You know, you understand, a lot of you, that nothing in your life is going to change until you change, all right? And the hard part for most of my listening audience at this point is because 95% of us who are in our midlife, okay, your brain is formulated many repetitious things from certain thoughts and beliefs, okay? And they've been in your consciousness for many, many years. So then it can seem like it can become harder. Like they always say, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. It can be difficult because your brain is hardwired by the time you're, especially by midlife, it's hardwired, okay? And so change can be a little difficult for some people. But just realize, again, in order to change your personal reality, you have to change your personality, okay? Some of you are grumpy. Some of you are not as buoyant and joyous about life every day. Some of y'all are like, yeah, I got this to do, I got this to compare. You know, like when you change your personality and you raise up your frequency and you begin to see each day as a brand new opportunity to create more joy and to have a better life. When you look at each and every upcoming day, whether you're looking at a calendar or you're just looking at tomorrow, and you see it as another opportunity to do wonderful things and to be loving and to give love to each other and give love to the world, trust me, your disposition going to change, curmudgeon or, you know, and cantankerous when you are purposely rewiring your brain. You are purposely altering your vibration so that you can create a different reality for yourself that's better. And we all have the power to do this. So it is very interesting when you look at, you know, the educational system in this country and you wonder, like, okay, everybody could really be on a genius level, but the way that the curriculum is designed, the curriculum was specifically designed to create a good worker. The system of education in this country was formed in 1910 by the Carnegie family and other constituents, and it was about making sure that you knew how to get along with other people so that you don't stab nobody on the assembly line and you don't come in to kill everybody at work because you're angry about not making any money. So everything was just about making a good worker, making a good person who's going to work for other people. That's what it's really based on. And it's up to a parent and other individuals in children's and a child's family to really help mold and shape that child into being a critical thinker, into being a conscientious and kind individual that's compassionate and generous and empathetic towards other individuals. That work has to come from home and community. So when we look at some of our homes and communities, especially in the melanin-dominant society, we can see why we're stuck and why stuff ain't working out. Whether it's individuated or collective, we can see it. When we had that experience at the lounge that we were performing, that my, you know, husband and everybody was performing at for our party and what have you, and, you know, the owner was just greedy, you know, and looking just like us, looking like he could be our uncle, you know, that's very disheartening. You're working with your own people, and you are trying to take advantage of the situation. So now you don't have jack, okay? All the equipment is gone, the lights are gone, the trusses is gone, everything gone. So we have a lot of work to do as melanin-dominant people because we're the ones predominantly on this planet that we call Earth who have been subjugated in such a way, whose complete narrative of being the progenitors of the planet, being the creators of civilization, mathematics, and every other wonderful thing, music and chemistry and brain surgery and everything under the sun. We had birth control thousands of years ago with plants that we could eat that would prevent us from having children in that time frame. You know, we knew much more than we know now. So because we're entering into this beginning of the age of Aquarius, that energy is pulling us out of ignorance. That energy is pulling us away from negativity and separation. That energy is tugging on us. And if you're really feeling it, good, very good. All right, we are in a process of evolution. We must raise up this frequency. We've got to get into 5, honey. So, you know, even with this being episode 137, and I'm talking about my subject matter specifically for tonight, I was excited because, again, 1 + 3 = 4, and 7 and 4 = 11, and 11 is a mastery number. And I'm a triple master. I have 3 11s in my birth chart. So I was like, oh, this is going to be perfect. I hope that this will, you know, really ring true inside of everyone who's listening because, number one, I love each and every one of you, whether I know you or I don't. You are here on this planet with me at this time. Think about it this way. We are alive at the beginning of a new age. How amazing is that? Most of us were alive for the turn of the century. From 1999 to 2000, it only happens every 1,000 years, and we were here for it when it happened this time, okay? And on top of that, we are in the beginning of the new age of Aquarius. What? You want to talk about an opportunity to celebrate and have jubilee? This is an amazing time to be alive. This is so special. So if you can wrap your head around what I'm speaking about tonight, and you can really take an opportunity to project the reality that you want to see happen. And hopefully that reality will also envision other individuals, you know, being uplifted and being raised in frequency and vibration. You know, not just, you know, again, you know, always about yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're all one, really. Okay? Every single one of us on the face of this planet is connected, okay, through a term called entanglement. We are all connected to each other. And no matter where we are on the planet, we're all connected to each other. So being that this is the beginning of the age of Aquarius and it's time for a new mindset and evolution and up, you know, lifting and raising a frequency and all this wonderful stuff, I think it'd be really awesome if we take it upon ourselves to consciously learn to recreate our personality so that our personal reality will be positively reflected upon other people as well. Isn't that awesome? You know, and it is sad that, you know, you don't really hear this in the masjid. You don't hear this in church, okay? I don't want you to talk about what you hear in the synagogue because that's a whole other situation. But you don't hear this in church and you don't hear this in the masjid. You don't hear it. You don't hear that you are an individuated aspect of the creative force of all things. It's experiencing life through you while you master yourself. You don't get that. Anybody telling you that? But that is the true reality of what we're doing here. And so when you really let that sink in, you know, mind melt on that bad boy. Like, let it get in. Let it get into your consciousness and really learn to realize that you are an individuated aspect of the creative force of all things everywhere. Everywhere is experiencing through you. And you have the power to create a whole new reality for yourself as many times as you want to, not just in this lifetime, but in every lifetime we will ever have. Like, I'm pulling you into the macro now, I'm pulling you into the big, big, big part. Because, again, when you learn to fall in love with what you cannot see and knowing that all the possibilities of the things that you do desire exist in that space. And that space is really present. It's not away from you. It's present. And all you have to do is focus on it so that it will manifest for you in a 3D reality and then hopefully into a 5D reality. So there's certain little hand gestures that you could do to relax yourself, to get enlightenment, all kinds of different things, okay? So I'm going to go over a couple of them before we go. You know, they're called mudras, okay, M-U-D-R-A-S, and they are basically different hand gestures that balance your body and your life. Mudra actually means lock or a designed seal, all right? And your fingers each hold an aspect of our reality. Your ring finger, let me start. Your thumb is the aspect of fire, okay? Your index finger is air. Your middle finger is space. Your ring finger is earth. And your pinky finger is water, all right? So the first mudra I'm going to explain, and I'm going to do my best to explain it for you, is called the Uttara Bodhi Mudra. And it is the mudra and or hand gesture that you do to envelop consciousness, self-confidence, self-awareness. It removes fear, worries, or stress and helps with decision-making. So take both of your hands, put them palm up, then put your palms together. Interlock all of your fingers except for your index fingers and your thumbs. Place your index fingers touching each other and your thumbs touching each other. And you hold this position. Even press your palms, keep your palms together. Keep the meat and the bottom of your hands together. Okay, and you can do this for 15 to 20 minutes when you wake up in the morning or when you're stressed out or you're feeling that you don't have enough consciousness or self-confidence, or you're worried or fearful about something, or you need to make a big decision. Hold this hand gesture and meditate on being conscious. Meditate on being confident. Meditate on being fearless and courageous. Meditate on not being worried about anything because everything is in perfect divine alignment in your life. And then meditate on the desire that you want to get to. Your present disposition may be of worry or fear or lack of self-confidence and things like that. But when you envision yourself being confident, what does that look like to you? When you envision yourself being worry-free and not having a care in the world that's going to stress you out? What does that look like to you? Focus on that energy and project that energy so that that reality will occur for you. And the more you do it, the more you do the mudra and the more you sit in meditation with those specific thoughts and vibrations, you will create that reality for yourself. You will create the reality where you have no fear. You are conscious and you are self-confident. You've made a good decision. If you had to make a decision that was, you know, weighing on you, all right, that is the mudra to do, okay? It's called Uttara Bodhi Mudra. The next mudra is called Hakini Mudra. Now, this particular mudra connects all of the energy systems in your body, all right? One gets complete power over their mind with this particular hand gesture. Hakini means ruler or power, okay? Take all the tips of your fingers, them to each other, pinky to pinky, ring finger to ring finger, middle to middle, index to index, thumb to thumb. Let there be space in the middle, okay? Did you know that there are over 3,000 magnoreceptors in our fingertips? Over 3,000. So touch all of the tips of your fingers together, okay? Think of yourself as being empowered. Think of yourself as having complete control over your mind so that you make the best decisions, you move in the right vibration, you conduct yourself in a state of knowing. You have all that you need to know, and you will continue to learn more. You will be grateful and gracious about your learning. You can even say in your meditation, in your mind, that you are powerful. I am powerful. Say, I am powerful. You can repeat that over and over again as a mantra. I am powerful. 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 Okay? And you can do this for 15 to 20 minutes. Keep your fingertips touching each other. Sit in a state of being comfortable. Okay? If you know any yogic positions, feel free to do so. Okay? If you want to do crisscross applesauce with your legs and sit, fine. But even if you can't do all that, you can just sit still. Make sure that you're comfortable. Your back is up against the back of the chair or the couch or the bed or whatever, and you're comfortable. You're not feeling uncomfortable. All right? The next mudra is called Dhyana. It's spelled D-Y-A-N-N-A. The Dhyana mudra is when you lay your right hand on the top of your left hand in opposite directions. So your fingers should be pointing in opposite directions. Okay? If you have your right hand over your left, then your left fingers are pointing to the right, and your right hand, which is laid palm up on top of your left hand, your fingers are facing left. All right? Now, please note that if you are overactive and you have too much power or you're really antsy, reverse the hand, okay? Put your left hand on top of your right hand if you are too anxious, okay? Same opposite though, okay? Same opposite. And then place the tips of your thumbs together. Like mush the whole top section of your thumbs, place them on one another. Okay? Now, this particular mudra helps to improve concentration. It leads to a deep meditative state, and it calms the mind. So if you're feeling anxious and what have you, or even if you just want to relax before you're getting ready to go to bed at night, you can do this particular mudra for 10 to 15, 20 minutes or so, and just think of calm things. Maybe envision the ocean or a mountaintop or a bird flying or something really soothing and calm. Okay? The next mudra is called the Kubera Mudra. And in the Kubera Mudra, we do this one for wealth, okay? So if you need a little extra change in your life, you know, or you want to, you know, get some extra money to save or you're saving up for something special, you put your palms face up, okay? And then you close your ring finger and your pinky finger to your palm, okay? Put them up to your palm. So your index finger and your middle finger are not touching, okay? you're literally going to connect these two fingers to the tip of your thumb. So your palms are up, and your pinky finger and ring finger on both hands are connected to both thumbs, and you keep your palms up. And you do this for 10, 15 minutes, and it helps to improve your blood circulation. It has benefits to your memory, benefits to your heart, okay? And it blocks barriers and obstacles that are in your mind so that you can have the wealth and achieve the goals that you desire. All right? Think about it. Just, you know, think about these things, all right? Because we are missing a lot, and a lot of our ancient esoteric teachings will connect us immediately to what it is that we're looking for, okay? Just think about it, all right? The next mudra is called the Chin Mudra, all right? And this is the gesture of consciousness. You may also do this position for enlightenment and wisdom. So you place your palms up yet again. Bring your index finger to your thumb. Allow the tips of your fingers to touch each other gently while leaving your other three fingers extended open, okay? Still palms up. And you do this, again, for enlightenment and for wisdom and for you know, gestures of consciousness and being present, okay? So our experience, again, is so unique and so special, all right? It is not haphazard. It's not for no reason. It's not willy-nilly and catch-as-catch-can. It is deliberate. Whether you wish to understand any of what I'm saying or not, you know, because our souls are eternal, when we are in the absolute, before we come into flesh, we have an idea of what it is that we really want to do and what we would like to experience in this particular lifetime, etc. Now, the thing about it is that once we come into flesh, especially the way that our hospital system is designed when a woman is in labor and giving birth to a baby, it's very harsh. All of that fluorescent light, even smacking the baby, all of those things jack up your ability as a soul to remember what your purpose was when you decided to come back here. Okay? That is why so many women wish to give birth with a doula, because with a doula or a midwife, the light is very, very low and very mellow. You might have soothing sounds or bells ringing or a triangle. You know, some women choose to give birth inside of a birthing pool so the baby goes from her water into the water. But with those children, their disposition is quite different. And think about it. If you're a soul and you wish to reincarnate and you come into a body by way of, you know, your mother's womb and she gives birth to you, as soon as you hit the light is bright as hell with artificial damaging fluorescent light, and somebody smacks the hell out of you. That's your welcome? No wonder so many of children seem clueless and forget completely. You know, and it's within that time period that you're going to remember, that you're supposed to remember and hold it. But your introduction is so harsh and abusive that you automatically disconnect from it. And so now you're just in a state of wonderment and learning, but you've forgotten your primary objective, and hopefully it'll come back to you before you pass again, but sometimes it doesn't. And this is why people feel so lost. This is why people think that, oh, I only live one lifetime and this is all I have and that's it. Baby, embrace the fact that you are a multidimensional entity. You are an eternal soul. And you're going to come and go and come and go and come and go into different bodies and shapes and shades and sexes. until you reach a state of superior mastery and enlightenment. And so we all are going to be coming and going from here for a second, because number one, what I'm discussing with you is not necessarily taught in a public educational setting, or even in some instances, depending on where you went to college, whether or not you'll even get it in university study. But goodness knows, if I had learned this when I was 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, if I had learned this, woo, have mercy. I don't even know. I know I'd be sexasonic. I'd be off the chain. I'd be, woo, have mercy. If I knew this then, if we begin to teach our children and young people that they're eternal souls and that they're here to learn and to acquire information and knowledge and, you know, seek enlightenment and mastery of self, could you imagine how you'd turn out if you learned that when you were 5? If your nursery school even brought this up, could you imagine how you might have been, how what you would have turned out like? I mean, a lot of what I'm discussing with you, I learned after 30. Some of it I had when I was younger, because I definitely had some other ish about me when I was younger. Sometimes I wish my mother was still alive, because she was definitely the witness to most of it. But nonetheless, that's what we're doing. We're learning, and we are attempting to master ourselves and gain as much enlightenment as we can as we evolve as souls. And that's it. So, yes, it is exceptionally important for us to understand the history of this planet, the history of humanity. We must understand that, understand it, and overstand it. We must get a handle on these different various groups that we see waging war on one another and being absolutely genocidal towards other individuals. You got to know who you're dealing with. So along with mastering self and, you know, learning how to evolve and, you know, raising your spiritual vibration and maintaining a high positive frequency, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you got to learn all that other stuff too, because you have to really, really get what's going on. How do I change it? How do I change it for the better? How do I benefit the world? And y'all know, a lot of us ain't on none of that. A lot of us are clueless to most of what I discussed tonight. So we have work to do. And those of us who know it and can teach it and explain it, we got to do it. If you're one of those people and you're listening and that's your task and that's what you do it. Okay, the world needs us. The world needs enlightenment. The world needs positive energy and love. Love. Okay, your plants need love. Your pets need love. Of course, your spouse, your mother and father, your children, your sister, your brother need love. Your aunties and uncles and cousins need love. Your friends need love. Your coworkers need love. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to get really into love, because it is the most amazing feeling. It is the best of the best. I don't know anything better than it. I don't know anything better than love. I don't. And regardless of who it comes from or who you give it to and who you share it with, you know, cultivate those relationships. You know, and grow with each other. Support each other. All right, let's not throw each other under the bus. Let's not try to cheat each other. Let's be loving and kind and righteous and supportive of each other. You know, y'all got to check out that experiment that I forgot the name of the scientist. I think he might have been a German scientist. But anyway, he did an experiment with rats, and it was in correlation to the specific design for public housing and what we call the projects. And, you know, the rats were very interesting, and they separated the rats. You know, some rats had it going on, and they had the little wheel, and they had food and water all the time, and there weren't that many of them in the cave, and they were doing great, and they were just, you know, loving each other, and everything was good to go. And then in the other experiment, you had too many rats in one area. You know, they were fighting over water and food. They were fighting each other, biting each other, killing their young. Eventually, some of them became homosexual to the other rats. Then they took the rats that were having a good life and put them in with the other crazy bad rats. And it was horrible. The crazy bad rats were raping the other rats. So I'm just explaining this particular experiment because it was an experiment in psychology and sociology in reaction with life. And they used rats, but have we not seen similar behaviors in public housing, in projects, in areas and urbanized areas where everyone's all on top of each other, but we're suffering? We got paint chipping, the water don't work, we ain't got no heat, we hungry. All those dynamics will lead to those particular circumstances that I mentioned. Those behaviors and reactions will be manifest as a result of that type of other behavior and those environments. So we also have to truly understand that your environment also helps to shape how you look at things and your personal reality. Okay, and your environment that you're in has direct impact on your personal reality, and that has impact on your personality and how you move and do and, you know, respond in the world. So it's dangerous when we live in the projects. It's dangerous when we're all on top of each other in a situation that is just terrible. And we have to learn how to break free from those. We have to create the reality that's going to support a better life for us. Okay, and you have heard of and seen people be able to move out of the projects. You've seen it. Some people get out, like, oh, snap, how do you get out? Program the new reality for themselves. So, again, I'm going to speak more on this, but it's really where I've been a lot lately with my own personal consciousness, because I totally understand that this reality that we're in, we create it, and we can't let other people create it for us or tell us that we are not in charge of our lives. We are, okay? So get in charge, all right? Make it happen. Live your dreams, okay? Do the mudras. Learn how to do your mantras and repeat what it is that you desire in your life. One of my favorite ones is money comes easily and frequently, because abundance is my birthright and I am wealthy. And I will repeat that over and over and over again. And 9 times out of 10, I get some money after that. So think about it. All right. Again, go to SoundCloud.com. Check out DJ Pitch Control, PYTCHCONTROLL. I'm going to put some mixes up soon. Yes, I am. But enjoy your life. Enjoy the good music. Be a beautiful human being, family. Okay? I love you. I wish everybody love and light and consciousness for real. Happiness, peace, and joy is what we are all about. So be that. All right? Thank you so much for being with me tonight, Black Alice in Wonderland Radio Show with Queen Amina. I look forward to seeing you next week, and have a beautiful week ahead, okay? One love, family. One love. Peace, 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 peace.